exactly on the second. Press and public are duly notified. I'm going to ask for a motion to suspend the rules of section 1-3-7B. And the motion I'm going to propose is to add two items to our agenda. One item is a discussion on where we stand dealing with insurance on the farmer's market. And the second item I'd like to add is consideration of a city-sponsored event for Einstein, is that the best term? Einstein filming on the beach?
Cosmic pictures.
Cosmic pictures, excuse me.
Filming on the beach.
With that as a motion, if it, seconded, fine. If it passes by 3/4 of those present, which means 6 out of 7, then it passes and we will proceed on that basis, so.
You just find out about it?
Yeah.
How long ago?
Half hour.
Half hour.
Okay.
Are you talking about both items, Jimmy?
Yep.
No, the.
Okay, so I'll try to clarify. The farmer's market, as you know, the work that is going on related to it is time sensitive, since there are going to be some decisions made regarding the vendors that will be allowed to participate, as well as actual kicking off of the farmer's market, which is the end of August. So it is relatively time sensitive, and in the last week we've run into some complications associated with insurance for the participants at the market, and as a result of that, I think Mayor Pro Tem Harrington has requested that there be discussion added to the agenda today. Mm-hmm. Regarding that, because if we are not able to put the problem to rest and the staff given direction about which way to go with this insurance, then we may have most of the vendors that have requested to participate indicate that they can't participate. So that's why that one's time sensitive. The other one, which is discussion related to this new request for city-sponsored event status, just in the last maybe 5 days or so, we received this request for city-sponsored event status associated with the eclipse, which of course is August 21st. The next council meeting is August 22nd. There is another scheduled special council meeting, but that is a meeting with the Planning Commission. It's expected to be a really long meeting. So the Public Safety Committee met at 2:00 today, gave approval for the city-sponsored event status for this event, and that being also a time-sensitive thing, we felt like we could handle it in this meeting if it's the will of council to do so.
Okay. All right. No other discussion. All in favor amending the agenda accordingly, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. The agenda is now modified.
Wait, you've suspended the rules, so now we have to amend the agenda.
We suspended the rules? Oh, okay.
So, and so that vote is good, and now you just need to do the motion to add the items.
I'll make a motion to add the two items we just mentioned, dealing with the discussion on the farmer's market, and I want to call it Einstein. You're going to tell me something
else. Yeah,
Cosmic pictures.
I'll make that motion.
And then make a finding of exigent circumstances for the reasons that.
The exigent circumstances were just described, E-X-I-G-E-N-T, and I'm reading.
Emergency.
As outlined by the city administrator just a moment ago, is the reason why we're trying to move this up and taking care of it today, right now. So I'll make that as a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yeah. All in favor of now modifying the agenda? This requires a 2/3 vote, which is the same, turns out. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Now we've modified the agenda. Sterling's happy now. All right, going back to the primary purpose, first item on the agenda is second reading of Ordinance 2017-05, an ordinance providing for the referendum pursuant to the Municipal Bond Act for the purpose of determining the question of whether the City Council and the City of Isle of Palms shall be empowered to issue and sell general obligations bonds of the city in the amount not to exceed $5.5 million for the total cost of completing a Phase 2 Marina Revitalization Project, the Isle of Palms Marina, providing to the forms of the ballot to be used, providing for the notice of the referendum, providing for all other acts necessary to submit a aforesaid question. Whoa, I'll make, are we on? I'll make that, and suspend the full reading of the ordinance, which is 17 pages, I think, or down there. So I'll make that as a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion second. This ordinance, actually, my motion is to amend the first reading.
Draft from first reading.
First reading, and to move to the draft that we currently have before you today, dealing with the ordinance 2017-05. So I'll make that as a motion to change from the first reading draft to the current draft for second reading. I'll make that as a motion.
Second.
Second, all in favor of changing the draft, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. So we're dealing with the draft before you. This has been prepared by, now by our bond attorney in Sterling, in great wordsmanship.
It's, I'll just tell you real quickly that this is, the ordinance is now reflecting a referendum under the Municipal Bond Act, which is just what we did for the 1998 referendum in order to purchase the marina. If you look at the two side by side, when we did it in 1998, the council just adopted a resolution rather than do it in ordinance form. You know, we're just doing it in ordinance form, so make it, you know, more official and have the two readings and everything like that. It's referencing all the same laws and everything that was in the first one. It's just this one has a lot more of the formalities included. So it actually has a copy of what the, you know, notice will look like that goes in the newspaper,
right,
attached as an exhibit. Not all of these things were, you know, actually required. They're just things that our bond attorney had recommended we go ahead and do just to make it as formal as possible. So it does include a lot more verbiage than the original did in 1998. That was kind of a simplified version, but it certainly includes everything that I think we need to include to make it, you know, reflect all the things that we want it to in accordance with the Municipal Bond Act.
Okay.
And
thank
I
you.
Would just add,
please,
we have to have this to the Election Commission by August the 18th. I mean,
August
15th.
15th,
excuse me.
Yeah, next week.
15th.
And one more thing that is new from the first version is there's more language in there talking about the two phases of the marina redevelopment, and we've changed the word redevelopment to revitalization. So those are just two things to consider, you know, as you're reading it, that are changes from the first reading, in addition to just making have all the formalities under the Municipal Bond Act.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Jimmy, question?
Mr. Mayor?
Where are
you? Thank
you.
On page 3 and on page 6, under the two check boxes in favor or opposed, the paragraph below that says, should the referendum result favorably with the question, so on and so forth, should there not be another paragraph that said, should the referendum result non-favorably?
I mean, this is kind of we really don't even have to include that paragraph at all.
Okay.
I just thought it would be helpful to kind of explain why we're using this Municipal Bond Act process for this referendum, because it does give the city the ability to not have the borrowing count toward that 8% debt limit. Now, if the referendum did not result favorably, voted against. In that case, the city would still be able to do some projects at the marina, but it would count toward the 8% cap. So I think when we were talking about this at first reading and then talking about it at the last meeting, we kept using the words binding and non-binding.
Right.
And I'd kind of like to explain a little bit more. I did not do a good job of explaining at that point that it's really, that's not the right words to use, because even though we're doing this according to the Municipal Bond Act, it does make it binding in the sense that we would not then be able to borrow $5.5 million and have it, you know, not count toward the 8% debt limit. So that's one thing that you could say it's binding, but you can still do smaller projects. It would just count within that 8%. So it's not, it's not exactly binding versus non-binding. It's just that we're doing it in accordance with the Municipal Bond Act so that, you know, if we do decide to do the full project and it's voted, you know, favorably, then we'll be able to, we won't have to count that toward, you know, our 8% debt limit, which is the constitutional kind of limit that the city has for borrowing. Now, if it's voted against, the city still has some flexibility on what it can do if it determines that it wants to have that count toward, that borrowing count toward the 8% debt limit.
As any borrowing we would do would come towards the limit.
And that would be, you know, as long as you're within that 8%, then, you know, the city can do that with or without a referendum, it wouldn't be necessary. So I just wanna clarify and kind of explain that it's not so much binding versus non-binding, but we're doing it in that accordance with the act so that we can actually have more flexibility and not have it count toward our debt limit in that way. You know, as to inclusion of this or not, you know, I thought it might be helpful for people to know that it's not being counted toward the 8% debt limit if they decided to vote for it. Yeah, I've reviewed quite a few of these ordinances now, and sometimes they put in a paragraph that's explanatory like that, and sometimes they don't. They're usually putting it in there to say what will happen if it passes. Then the city will be authorized to go ahead and issue the bonds, and that's usually all it says. I just put the 8% debt limit information in there just because that does set it apart from just doing an advisory referendum or something like that. That's kind of the big difference between doing the advisory non-binding referendum I first talked about and then doing it in accordance with the Municipal Bond Act, which is this version here.
I figure some sort of legalese in there, so I have to ask that question.
Well, it's
and I understand, like, if, you know, to say if it, if we didn't result favorably, I'm not sure what that language would say, because, you know, the city would still have options to be able to do things. It's not as clear as saying we can, you know, we will not issue the bond, issue any bonds at all. That wouldn't be appropriate because you might end up doing a smaller project. It just wouldn't be this line, you know, it wouldn't be something that would be forgiven from the 8% debt limit.
There's no reason why not to explain it and use that, leave that paragraph in. As far as I'm
concerned.
If you
think it's helpful.
Well,
sometimes
it may be
helpful.
It may be helpful in the future.
Right.
And we have no, while we have no plans to borrow money for really anything else, if in the future we then have to explain, well, the marina enhancement was not part of our 8%, they may say, well, I didn't know that. Well, it's in the referendum, so that's fine.
It gives it more transparency to
state
it.
It's clear.
Yeah.
Well,
hopefully it won't cause more confusion, but I just thought it was helpful
there,
to some people. So.
Yeah, there are a lot of people won't have a clue as to what the 8%. They'll say 8% of what?
Without
reading the Constitution.
8%
of what?
That's right.
You know, which is, you know, I won't poll council to see if they know what the 8% that will go on. Any other questions? All in favor of the draft second reading? Please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's moving ahead. All right, now let's get through the easy subject. We have the
which one's easy?
Well, I think I'm going to say Einstein is
okay.
Quick. There's nobody.
Cosmic Pictures.
So I'll make a motion. I feel like I'm uninformed, but
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we allow Cosmic Pictures to photo the eclipse event from the front beach as a city sponsored event.
Second.
As I understand it, let me see if I, this is a limited, I won't even call it a crew, I'll call it a person.
A person
and a camera on front beach taking time lapse photos of.
From 8 in the morning till
5 in the afternoon.
So 8 till 5. Hope he's got sunscreen. First of all, I hope we have sun. Second of all, I hope he's got sunscreen. Make time-lapse photography. And if I understand it right, there's a series of these photographers scattered along the path of the eclipse across the country.
Right.
So there'll be a whole stream of these events photographed on a time lapse manner.
It's an IMAX.
This will be used.
And then it'll be used in IMAX, it'll be stitched together and.
It'll be used as an IMAX documentary.
Documentary.
In school, museums and.
Museums and schools for educational purposes.
Mayor, was the motion seconded?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. And it has limited impact, I mean, one man and a camera on the beach.
12 square feet.
Is rather limited.
Turf, 3 by 4.
Well, actually, it's 12, it actually is 12, yeah, 10 by 12.
10 by 10.
Yeah. So it's bigger than we originally thought.
That was the question I asked earlier.
Yeah, they sent a follow-up clarification.
10 by 10 makes far more sense.
Yes.
Well, that's what he said.
You couldn't stand with a camera in a 3 by 4.
It's 10 by 10.
That makes more sense.
Okay. So, I mean, it's educational, it's public relations, if you will. I think everybody will enjoy it, hopefully we get to see it somewhere.
Mr. Mayor.
Please.
May I also say that the same company has done things for the National Geographic and have won awards for.
Right.
Oh.
Several awards.
Okay. Any other discussion on this?
It's gonna be there from what time to what time?
8 to 5.
8 to 5.
And never leave?
Well.
Camera will be there, I don't know whether he's.
One person.
One person?
I mean.
I have a feeling someone may spell him to make a potty stop.
He's gonna have to, I mean.
That's not gonna be there. Are we gonna rope it off, are we gonna, is it gonna have a platform?
He'll mark it off.
No, no platform.
Yeah, they're asking for to be able to mark off space and for us to help enforce keeping it marked off.
And as a time lapse IMAX, you can imagine he's gonna be taking, probably as the beach fills up, he'll have people, he'll have the sky, you know, so.
I know you've done this, but have you checked the tides? About period of time?
I cannot quote you the tides right now, but obviously the tide will be a factor in terms of the beach crowds.
I did check it.
It's bound to be from 8 to 5.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a change, there's no question.
One more small item, you know, we talked about the location, he wants to do it down by the fishing pier. And the city suggested maybe doing it down at 42nd where it wasn't quite so crowded. But part of this is to show the magnitude of the people being involved in following this.
Yeah.
So he wants to film all the people.
More people the better, that sort of.
Yeah. Crowd reaction.
He'll.
Would they, did you consider actually putting him on the pier or is that?
That's private, that's private, we don't.
That's private.
We did not offer that up and they did not request it, we would just have to refer them to Sea Cabins with that request.
I would have thought that would get him out.
Out of the crowd, yeah.
That may.
He wants the crowd, the crowd's part of it.
That may happen also, but I mean.
Okay.
Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, they're done. All right, farmer's market, insurance.
I'll start.
This is a merry-go-round.
Yes, Louis Gregory may wanna to speak to some of this and certainly Desiree has been on the front lines. But as you know, we're trying to do everything that we can to facilitate making this farmer's market a reality for this upcoming fall season and also a success. And so one of the things that we've had to work on is insurance related to the event. And we're learning along with everyone else. And so this process started out, we knew it would be necessary to have insurance. So we first contacted our own insurance group, which of course is the insurance pool through the Municipal Association of South Carolina, because we felt like because of the short time frame that we would have to get this kicked off, that at least in this year, the better avenue would be for the city to pay for an additional insurance policy or for a rider on our policy to cover the event. When we reached out to our insurer, they said, no, you can't do that. And I thought that meant, no, you can't do that with your pool of insurance. But I was informed that we would also not be able to find a private insurer who would write a policy like that for the city, but that we should ask each of the vendors to have insurance, notify them that they had to have insurance, and then provide, like we do for everything, including this Cosmic Pictures event coming up, ask them to provide to us proof via a certificate of insurance that they have insurance to the appropriate limits and name the dates, time, and place of the market that they would be participating in. And so basically, we conveyed that information, to the committee that's working on the farmer's market, and they conveyed it to some of the vendors, and we have received a negative reaction back from some of the vendors stating that they do not have insurance. And I guess don't feel that they can get. There's also a thing that you may have learned about via, some of the training offered by the Municipal Association called a TULIP policy, and that's an, initials, for something like tenant under it, written limited insurance something program. Anyway, it is designed specifically for, events such as this. So for an example, if we wanted to rent out the city hall space to an individual to have a reception, then we would tell them if they didn't have insurance, they could go to TULIP and get insurance. And because that event would be on city-owned property or in a city facility, then they would be able to secure this insurance. It's a National League of Cities product at a very cost-effective rate. Well, the problem with the event that we are working on is that the property on which the event would be located is Charleston County PRC's property. It is not city-owned property, and so therefore the TULIP insurance would not apply. I went to straight to the TULIP. I went through our insurer, straight to the TULIP program. They referred me to the underwriter, and the underwriter declined coverage. So it would have been incorrect to refer any of the vendors, the artisans, or the food vendors, to that. We've also talked, the city staff has talked to, Sullivan's Island, who, of course, this our market is modeled after theirs, and we've talked to, Mount Pleasant, who, as you know, for a long time has had a very successful farmer's market. And we've also talked to the county about some of these county, Charleston County PRC, about some of the other events that they have and how it's handled. So with Mount Pleasant, they have a clause that says that Mount Pleasant doesn't cover them in insurance and that they're required to have their own insurance, but apparently they don't require any follow-up. So in other words, they put them on notice that they have to have it, but there's not follow-up for proof that they have it. So, and with Sullivan's Island.
And they only have food vendors.
Right, and they only have food vendors, or that, at least I guess that's the case now. So then with Sullivan's Island, they simply have a statement in their application that they don't cover them under their own policy. There is no requirement for any kind of follow-up. With Charleston County PRC, they handle circumstances very similarly to the way the city does, in that they require that their food vendors, not their artisans, but that their food vendors have their own insurance, and they do require that they provide them a certificate of coverage naming them as an additional insured for their required policy limits, date, time, location, place of what's happening. So Charleston County PRC is pretty much, with all of their other events that they have in their facilities, handles it very similarly to the way we have typically handled it, with other events. So we're faced with a situation which, you know, based on our audit and the way we are looked at for passing along risk, and based on the way that we typically handle city-sponsored event status and requirements, you know, we have to make a decision about whether or not we're going to, state that we're going to require that, all of the vendors have a separate policy, or whether or not we're going to say, well, we're not going to worry about the artisans, but we are worried about the food, or we're going to just take the risk. And if we take the risk, you know, you all would need to understand that if there were a claim, which Mount Pleasant said they've never had one so far, but if there were a claim, what we would receive would be a reservation of rights letter from our insurance indicating that we were not covered for whatever the claim was. So if someone gets food poisoning, if someone's child gets exposure to lead-based paint, or some sort of unfortunate event associated with the market, then not only would the city be liable, but this the funding for whatever the case would have to come out of city's financial resources. So that's where we are.
Wow.
Do we have any idea what it would cost each vendor? Or,
maybe you know? Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, Lynn did a nice job summarizing.
I think Marie's going to prefer you to go to the mic, Lewis. I'm sorry. It goes into the recorder so she can hear it later.
Sure, Lewis Gregory, 29th Avenue. I think Linda did a nice job summarizing it. So the cost, I mean, I didn't do the research myself. One of my team members did. They said they could get a bare bones policy for like $90 for 90 days or something like that. So it's not a lot of money, but it doesn't cover a whole lot. And for the food vendors, I mean, I think all the food vendors are on board. They have insurance, they're covered. That's not an issue. It's really the crafters. And, you know, it's a small time operation. They just, you know, they're not gonna shell out the money for the liability and policy, and it's gonna basically take our market, which is about, we have about 35 vendors now, which is amazing. In a short period of time to get that many people interested, we have a great market put together, and this potentially is gonna torpedo it. And we would be left, maybe would have 10 to 12 vendors if we required that. So it's basically, you know, at this late juncture, it's pretty much gonna.
Well, I mean, I was swayed when I heard that the PRC and all of their activities in a lot of venues don't require artisans to have insurance.
Right.
They obviously do for food. If they haven't gone that far, you know, and I realize we're taking on the risk by I don't know which artisans you, hopefully they're not welding experts that are out there demonstrating their welding capabilities. Or
we do have one that sells air in a jar that wants to be part of the market.
Air in a jar?
Is this like a pet rock?
Well, kind of like a pet rock thing. I haven't seen it, but they have it down the marina, but she has the jars and she goes around the area collecting air. Supposedly she has like a bottle of air from the battery and, you know, different areas. I mean, who knows what it is, but.
Clever.
But, you know, I think the risk is extremely low. And the fact that the parks and recreation doesn't require it for vendors, crafters. Sullivan's and Mount Pleasant, even though they say it like we do, we say it in our registration packet that they're supposed to have liability insurance. They don't check or they don't enforce it. You know, I would think we could have them sign a waiver, you know, when they sign up and sign a waiver, you know, excluding us from any liability, if that helps.
Okay. That does go after your deep pockets.
But the other thing, it's also on park, county park property, so it's not even on our property. So it seemed like they would be the ones that are taking the liability.
I propose we just go ahead with the artisans, see how big the market is this year, and if it's lucrative for them, and we've taken on this risk, next time around, we ask them, you know, you've done well, you know, we expect the insurance next time
around. But required of the food vendors.
Definitely the food vendors.
I mean, I think there are probably some other policies out there that we could purchase in the future. But at this short notice, I'm not sure what else we can do other than make an exception for them.
Well, there was, Desiree had one where it's $35 for one day, not for the entire period. And
there
stuff.
Are several options.
So there are other options out there. But
right.
I
just think someone who's selling tea cozies or some little thing is even $35. It could be more than they make in the whole farmer's market. So.
Well, yeah. Let's see. We may oversell this thing.
I know, Linda, every time we have somebody come before us to have a city-sponsored event, you make it a point to say, make sure that you have the insurance and make sure da-da-da-da-da. And now we're just saying, well...
I would argue that we're on county property and we're following the discipline that Charleston County PRC has employed for their sponsored events.
So are they going to cover?
Nobody covers the artists. They don't require artisans to provide any insurance. So.
I mean, several questions. So if it's on Charleston County Parks.
It's our event though. They're allowing the city to have this event on their property.
Property.
If you recall, when we originally discussed this, the option was that the Charleston County PRC could do the event. It would then not be the city's event, but it would be their event. And that was not a choice that this group embraced. What the group embraced was that it would be a city event that Charleston County PRC would allow us to have on their property. So I don't know where you're going with it, but
if this was a PRC event,
yes.
Wouldn't that be happening?
The food vendors would have insurance and the artisans would not.
Okay, one more question to follow up. Mm-hmm. When we have our festival during the holiday festival, mm-hmm. Front Beach, and we have vendors down there.
That's on city property.
That is the difference is, this is a situation where people are renting space to make money. In that particular instance, it's on city property, and we are inviting them to participate. So, in other words, they're not renting space to make money. So, like, let's take this room, for example. XYZ wants to come here and hold a meeting. They might be able to come here and hold a meeting, and our insurance might cover them if they trip while they're here. But if they're coming here to do something to make money, where they're renting space from us to make money, that's the distinction. These other events are city events on city property that we've invited people to participate in. They're not coming to make money like they would be in this instance, renting space to make money.
So are you saying that the people in Front Beach who sell artwork aren't making money?
We haven't required them to pay for the space.
They're not paying for the space.
In this instance, they're renting the space. In the instance of the farmers market, they're renting the space. They pay a fee to have a space. In the city's events, we're inviting people, and they don't pay us anything. We're inviting them to be part of our event.
And so our insurance covers mm-hmm. that eventuality if something happens.
Even though they're on DOT property.
Well, that's city property.
No, it is city.
Oh, it's city property.
Ocean Boulevard is the city.
We had to take that out of DOT in order
yes.
to renovate it, if I remember.
I'm like Columbo. One more thing.
One more.
Here's your
you said 35 vendors, and then if we require the insurance, you're going to drop to 12. So are you saying you have...
That includes food, too.
Yeah.
Food,
so we won't have enough to have a market.
It's 12 food and the rest are some sort of craft.
Well, no, it's probably, I think we have at least 2 to 3farmers.
Oh,
and
right.
then there's some other food vendors. I would say maybe a half a dozen are food related. And then there are a few vendors that have a policy, some sort of policy that would cover them. But the majority do not.
So has this become more of a craft fair than a farmer's market?
I think most of them are a mix. And if you go to Sullivan's, they have other food vendors, only one farmer that sells produce. And he actually has an exclusive agreement with Sullivan's for that. If you have too many of those, then it generates
right.
too much competition and they're all
only
disgruntled.
Only
you want happy vendors.
Uh-huh.
The rest of them are crafts and food products, and then we're going to have, music and...
All right, I'm going to make a motion that we suspend the requirement for a insurance certificate for artisans.
I second that motion.
Any more discussion?
Are we not going to get any pushback from the food vendors?
They already have their certificates. They wouldn't be anywhere.
They have coverage, and that's the biggest risk is food products, foodborne illness. But craft vendors, it's extremely low risk, and that's why the county parks don't require it, and that's why Sullivan's and Mount Pleasant don't enforce theirs, in my opinion.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor? Whoops.
You're always suspending the rules.
Not, we don't normally. Only
Lewis
is the chair of the committee.
Chair of the committee.
I was asking the question. It's an emergency item on the agenda for an emergency meeting, and it wasn't advertised. So I was just asking if you're open to the floor for any more comments.
But if you want to say something, we're here for the night.
That's what I was asking.
We're here for the night. If you want to say something, go ahead.
Come on, have the mic if you want.
We're all neighbors.
Jim Rye, 3904 Cameron Boulevard.
And I mean, this is a complicated issue and a complicated question. And I did serve on the ad hoc committee for the farmers market mm-hmm. before. So, I mean, it does involve a lot of variables and a lot of questions. And it really came down to, back then, it really came down to what are we providing for the island residents? And what is it, whatever that is, that they can't get someplace else that requires the Isle of Palms to have an event for a farmer's market? And I say they, I say we, us, you know, driving home, am I going to pick up something to make at home to go home and cook that night? You know, there's plenty of other opportunities. So it's a very complicated issue. And I'm not against the farmer's market. But, I mean, there's a lot of variables, and a lot of people put a lot of work in to get to this point. But it does come down, and it begs the question, does the Isle of Palms really need a farmer's market? And is it providing something for the shut-ins that can't leave the island and an opportunity for them to get on their golf carts or walkers or strollers or whatever and go to the event? And I say that to emphasize the point. Is it really a necessity for the island to have a craft fair, farmer's market on the island? And that's all I want to say today. I mean, that was the point I wanted to make.
I don't think anybody can answer that. We'll have to see after the season, see how it's attended. So.
Thanks for the opportunity to.
Okay.
Can I throw one more out there? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is a big one for me. Can we do it on city property like we do the street festival and rent the spaces?
You still have to have insurance
there. If we're renting the spaces,
got to have
regardless.
Insurance.
They're renting the spaces to provide the funds to pay for the music and the other stuff.
Right. They could then have the tulip policy. So that would be one advantage, is that we would be able to supply to all of the participants the opportunity
to
get a
policy
through tulip, which is cost effective.
But it still costs.
It still costs, but it is much less expensive.
All right. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
One no. Thank you. All right. I have no other business, no other amendments to the agenda.
Thank you all.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're out of here. Channel 4 in attendance at the
Yes, they were videotaping like crazy.
They had a camera on.